Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. The WWE bans the Bro Kick. Austin Aries takes on a member of Aces and Eights. And how is Jerry the King Lawler doing? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. So the Night of Champion ticket sales, well, how are they doing, Aaron?
They're doing pretty bad, Andy. Apparently they had to send Daniel Bryan to Boston to try to spur up some sales for them. I'm guessing that they're going to be giving away a lot of tickets. They're going to have a ton of contests, and they're going to give away a lot of tickets. And this does not bode well for the WWE. And also, you got to think, okay, this is John Cena's hometown. John Cena's in the main event, and the tickets aren't being sold. So what is going on?
Well, is he actually in the main event? That's the thing. Or is it going to be CM Punk? Well, we're going to put you first match. Or is he actually going to wrestle the last match of the night? Because, you know, Triple H might come back and decide that he wants to wrestle.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I do understand what you're saying. However, I think that this kind of says something about the current product. I mean, if ticket sales are that bad, it probably says one of two things. One, the tickets are priced way too high, which they, I mean, don't get me wrong. To go see a WWE show, how expensive those tickets are is kind of ridiculous. It really is. It should be $20 for the bowl. And then in the inner bowl, it should probably be like 40 or 50. It should not be, you know, $50 for the outer bowl and then like $100 to even be in the inner bowl, which is that's kind of what it is. I think that says something. And also, I mean, the product right now, I think that people are probably getting just bored with it and they think it's stale.
I completely agree. That's the thing. I mean, there's been opportunities that, you know, I could have seen pay-per-views, but I refuse to pay, you know, $100 to sit lower bowl, $50 at the most for a pay-per-view, you know, charge a little bit more. But that's the problem right now is that if they would have had the tickets basically at half price, they could have sold them all. Number one, it would have been a sellout, and think of the merch sales that they would have got off that as well.
Yeah. And that's really big too. You mentioned there the merch sales. Mm-hmm. That's where you make the majority of your money.
Yeah, because if a shirt's $25, it realistically costs them to hire someone and bring it along. It's going to cost them only about $4 or $5. $5 mm-hmm. tops. So they made $20 pure profit off that one shirt. If you have someone who comes in and spends $40 on a seat and he goes out and buys one shirt, you made $20 pure profit. And that's not including the other little knickknacks and everything that costs pennies to make. You can make a lot of money off that stuff, but maybe that's something we'll get into eventually. But let's talk about WWE programming this week. The WWE wants Punk and Cena to be this generation's, well, Bret the Hitman Hart and Shawn Michaels. Do you think this is a good idea?
I do. I think that you need to have feuds that really define characters. And you think about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who do you think about for the biggest feud he ever had?
No, Vince.
Exactly. Vince McMahon. That was his defining feud. And don't get me wrong, he had feuds with Rock and with Triple H and Undertaker that were really good. But his defining feud, Vince McMahon.
Yeah, that's what it is, you know? Yeah, it would have to be. I mean, you could say stuff against DX, but no, it was really Vince the entire time. And I actually thought that was a good feud. I mean, when we look back on at the time, I thought it was stupid. I'm like, how long did this thing go? But looking back at it, it was actually a really good feud.
Yeah. You know, Undertaker, you'd probably maybe say Mick Foley or even Kane you might throw in there.
I'd almost say Kane.
Yeah. But you think like Bret Hart, HBK.
HBK, I mean, that's the first person you think of. I mean, because he didn't really have a good feud, I thought, with Owen.
It was okay. It was sibling rivalry, but it wasn't as good as HBK. But the point is that CM Punk last year, you know, you had said that the feud of the year was CM Punk versus the WWE Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, you know, I kind of agree with that. But obviously, you know, him and Cena were the big talk, though. And they had a really good rivalry, and they want to keep this going. And I understand that. And it makes sense to keep it going and to have Punk, you know, really be all over Cena. I mean, Punk is like 3-0 against Cena, 4-0 against Cena right now. I mean, he's got quite a few wins over him. So it makes sense for them to have Cena win this this match in particular. But it, I think that it's smart for them to do. It's smart for them to define them by this feud. But you have to have something ready and waiting to go after this is over. You have to have something for both these guys to move on to.
And what do they have them, you know, waiting for them? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
They're not thinking for the future right now. So Sheamus, he can't use the bro kick now. And if he do, I'm sorry, if he does, he actually will lose the title.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet you he uses it. Because then he can lose the title. No big deal. He'll bro kick Del Rio a couple times. Del Rio will win the title. And Ziggler will come out and cash it in.
Could happen. It'd be kind of cool.
I don't know if it's time, though. I mean, because he really hasn't showcased the fact that he is the Money in the Bank champion.
Well...
Or winner, I'm sorry.
I think that they've cooled his jets. You know, it's kind of like with Zack Ryder. Like, Zack Ryder was riding really hot. And they really cooled his jets after he won the U.S. title. I mean, they pretty much just... They threw ice on him.
Yep.
And I think with Ziggler, Ziggler was running really hot, and he was the showcase. He was somebody that they were showing off a lot. And I feel like they're not showing him almost at all. I feel like he's just kind of... He's been just like kind of put in the back burner, and now he's in the lower mid card instead of the upper mid card where he should be.
Yeah,
where he should be showcased. They do have him feuding with Randy Orton, which is smart because if he wins, that puts him over. And they have a match at Night of Champions on Sunday, which is weird since it's like only the championships and apparently he's wrestling. But whatever.
Well, who has the TNA TV title right now? Does Dolph have it?
TNA TV title?
Yeah, does Dolph have it now?
Does Dolph have it now? because when you have the TNA TV title, it doesn't get defended on TV.
Exactly.
I would say that, you know, Sheamus not using the bro kick, I think it, you know, it's just one of those little ploys to try to make people get behind Sheamus even more, or for Sheamus to overcome, you know, all these obstacles to be champion. And he's going to win this probably. I shouldn't say he's going to win. He's not going to lose this match by getting pinned or being submitted.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's going to be some weird finish. Let's see what they do with it. Also, I thought that was interesting is that they kept rewriting what was going to happen on Raw, which was really interesting. Kept changing scripts over and over again, which, again, shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
You know, but oh well.
But there are bigger things going on, and we'll get into that for our weekly topic. But,
yeah.
Andy, the IC title is now going to be defended in a four-way, a fatal four-way match. They didn't announce the stipulations because, as I've said on the show in the past, fatal four-way matches can be tag matches, essentially. They can be a first pinfall. They can be last pinfall. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing with this one. I'd like to see maybe a first to pin. That'd be kind of fun.
Is it a fatal four-way or is four-way elimination? Is it? I mean, I have a lot of questions.
I don't know. And you know, they're really bad about
false count anywhere. No DQ.
Yeah, the just like how they said, a triple threat match, that's automatically no disqualification. Really? I did not know that because I was always under the impression that, guess what, you can be disqualified.
Well, can you be disqualified in a false count anywhere match?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can. False count anywhere just means that you can pin somebody outside the ring. It does not mean that it is a no disqualification match. A no DQ match? A no DQ match means that you still have to pin inside the ring.
Right.
But if it's a false count anywhere, no disqualification match, that means it's anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So it's going to be a four-way. Who's going to be in the four-way match? Cody Rhodes.
So, yeah, obviously we have Cody Rhodes. We have The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio. I think that this is kind of smart. It'd be interesting to see Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara wrestle each other a little bit. I think that you can plant the seeds there for WrestleMania 29. And yeah. I think that that's probably a smart thing to do. And speaking of which, you know, actually, I didn't even bring this up. And this should have been in our news, so I do apologize. The speculation right now, WrestleMania 29 will be at Madison Square Garden.
29?
Yep. I'm sorry, WrestleMania 30 will be at Madison Square Garden. Even though 29 is in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Which is down the street from Madison Square Garden, practically. The last, I think, 5 WrestleManias have been on the East Coast. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to have it somewhere else. I mean, but by them doing it, though, in March, you have potential that you could actually bring it to somewhere like Chicago. It wouldn't be at Soldier Field, but it could be at U.S. Cellular or Comiskey Park, is how it's supposed to be called. So, I mean, yeah, you could have, I mean, Chicago would kill it, dude. I just can think of the revenue that would be brought in that weekend. Oh, my gosh.
The only downside is that Chicago had it like 7 years ago, I want to say. And so they are not going to bring it in there that quickly. They want to do a new city every year. Seattle hasn't had it since WrestleMania 19, if I'm correct. That was the only WrestleMania they've ever had. And it would be nice for Seattle to get it back. Mm-hmm. Or even like bring it somewhere else, you know, somewhere that you want to bring awareness to your product. And if your product is struggling in a certain market, bringing it to that market and having so many people come in for that show is a smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's move on to Daniel Bryan and Kane. Looks like they're going to be a tag team, apparently.
I kind of dig this now. The anger management segments are really funny. I think that they'll do well because you'll have the powerhouse Kane and then the guy who has probably the best shirt, I think, right now, the no shirt. The new one where it shows the tape over the yeses, which I find hilarious. I just dig Daniel Bryan. I think that they're doing to him right now, I think it's going to be genius when it's all said and done. It's a slow burn. They're doing it properly. They're making him almost like how he should be, a big superstar. He can wrestle. He had problems talking. Now he doesn't. That's what I find hilarious about this. The whole yes, no thing, I don't even remember how that started still. But that was hands down the best thing that he could have done for his career.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And, you know, I hate to go back to John Cena. There was something that happened when he was on the mic with Bret Hart. And the fans were chanting, you know, you can't wrestle, clap, 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 clap. At Montreal, right? And so John Cena, you see a smirk on his face, and he goes, "What do you guys think about Bret Hart?" And they're like, "Yeah, right." No, having that type of awareness, knowing how to work a crowd, being that good on the mic is something that I think Daniel Bryan has evolved into. I really feel that when he was first on the mic, he didn't do the best job. He had some pretty good segments. You know, the one with Michael Cole when he was being held back and, you know, he's trying to beat the crap out of him and stuff like that. And the anger that he felt was really good. But it wasn't the same as like Cena. You know, Cena's great on the mic. That's the thing. Cena is amazing on the mic. CM Punk, you know, those type of people are awesome. Daniel Bryan has learned from that. And I think that he's becoming a much better commentator, a much better entertainer because of that.
Yeah, it's all about improv stuff, and he's done a really good job of it, and I got to give him credit on it. And I think I see lots of potential, and the sad thing is, even though that Kane can still wrestle, I actually am going to not be looking forward to the day that he's going to be gone now. That's the one thing, because I never really cared for him, but now it's like, wow, he's been around this entire time. He's going to be gone soon, within a year or two, probably. But
yeah. Probably.
Anyway, so let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited space and limited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try freedom with see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out highspots.com. Just click on the link in the Section 86 Off the Mark page. Click on High Spots, buy some stuff there, and then eventually we'll get a coupon code so you can get like 5% off anything you order there. So check it out, highspots.com. Let's move on to TNA programming this week. So Jeff Hardy overcomes the he actually, you know, beats Samoa Joe and Bully Ray to take on Austin Aries. So he is the Bound for Glory series winner, and it's going to happen, well, Bound for Glory now. And it's really interesting how this, how did this all happen, by the way? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So, you know, he, we had Hardy take on Joe this past Tuesday or past Thursday, and he beat him with a submission hold. And it was kind of one of those, like, really? Like, Samoa Joe submitted to Jeff freaking Hardy? And so when it was announced that they were going to take each other on at No Surrender, my thought was that Samoa Joe was going to win. In fact, what I predicted, I was 100% wrong on my prediction. I predicted Samoa Joe over Jeff Hardy, and then I predicted James Storm over Bully Ray, and then Samoa Joe over James Storm. And the reason why I thought it would be interesting to have Joe versus Austin Aries, you know, and then give Joe the title. It'd be, you know, I think a smart play. However, though, I think that this is just as interesting. Jeff Hardy, you know, last time he held the title, he, you know, was doing drugs and he went to rehab. And this is him building back up his fan base, building back up the respect that he is now, he definitely deserves, and building that trust. I don't know if he is completely 100% off drugs or not. Hopefully he is. But this is TNA saying that we think that you are ready for prime time. We think you are ready to be the champion again. Because even if he doesn't win, they're saying that we think you're ready for this. I think that this could be a really great match. Although I don't know if this is – I don't know if this will be the main event. I could actually see TNA pulling a swerve and having like Sting and Hogan in there doing a match instead.
That wouldn't surprise me because they could say, like, well, this main event's not going to be good. You know what's going to be good? If I'm in the ring. No, if I'm in the ring, it'll be good. No, just don't get in the ring. There's a reason why you're old and you're not putting butts in the seats anymore, man.
Yeah.
Just call it.
You know, the lead up to Bound for Glory, I mean, we have 6 weeks now before this pay-per-view. This is a match that's going to happen there. You know, Zema Ion and Sanjay Dutt have been going at it recently. They might, you know, take each other on there. And, you know, kind of speaking about them, Andy, there's not a whole lot of X Division stars now at TNA. They're only showing those two guys. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Like, do they need to bring in more X Division stars or even have a whole show dedicated to the X Division, do you think?
I think they should. I mean, it's kind of stinking because when I watched the show, I was like, huh, this is it? I thought there would be a lot more wrestling is what it boils down to. And there wasn't a lot of wrestling, like good wrestling from the cruiserweights. That's it. You just had Zema come out and Sanjay Dutt, and that was the last you saw of any cruiserweight. I mean, they have for Gut Check next week, they have a guy coming in that's definitely an X Division person. But why would you showcase that, you know, basically not a heavyweight, but a X Division guy coming in, and you wouldn't have a couple matches that night?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they had a crappy women's match with Tara. It wasn't even a match. Tara just beat up Tess Mocker.
Yeah.
Okay. That's stupid. I mean, you could have replaced that entire segment and then ran it next week because you got 6 weeks till Bound for Glory. But
yeah, they're going to, of course, have those two face off at Bound for Glory, and they're going to really build that up. But I think the X Division, honestly, what I would do with the build up to Bound for Glory, I think that you need to have an Ultimate X match. I really, and I know that there was just one that happened at Destination X, but I really think that you need to do that because that is one of the best matches that they've ever come up with. It really is. And it's fun to watch. And on top of it too, it showcases the X Division wrestlers in a different way.
Yeah. And the other thing also is, it'd be kind of cool to do an X Division or an Ultimate X match, but have a contract, and then you have four Gut Check people, throw Joey Ryan in there, and three other guys. There you go. And then Joey Ryan can win the contract that way.
Yeah, that's an option too.
That's what that's what I think they really, really should do. Okay, that's what they're not going to do, but that's what they should do. We'll just leave it at that. And it'll make the pay-per-view so much more interesting. Yeah. So much more interesting.
Absolutely.
But one thing also we talked about that we thought would be happening, but it's in a different way, is that Storm and Bobby, now they're going to continue their old feud. They're basically put it on hold, and now they put it back. And I think it's funny because Bobby came out and said that it's because he can't go over Austin Aries because he is the because he can't face the champion with Austin. Mm-hmm. As long as Austin Aries holds the belt, he can't face him, which I thought was pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, and you know, since Austin Aries and Bobby Roode can't take each other on, he didn't want James Storm to win the title, obviously, and so he wanted to stop him. And when by stopping him, he instead is going to take him on at Bound for Glory. It'll probably be the second to last match, more than likely. And I mean, it's a decent feud, but it definitely has been going on for a full year. I think that it's about time that you end the feud. I think it'd probably be a smart thing to do. You know, maybe end it here.
Mm-hmm. That would be the smart thing to do. But you said we have some breaking news, though.
Oh no! So I forgot to mention at the top of the hour. I apologize for this. Two news stories I forgot to add to our news section. But D-Von, as we know, is officially done with TNA. And the thing that is really puzzling to me is that, you know, Hogan sent out a tweet and said, you know, thank you for all your hard work and everything. And D-Von, of course, thanked Hogan for that. But it's like he's got the TNA TV title. Where is the TNA TV title at?
Well, it should be defended on TV is what it should be. And it's not. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So but since we know that, you know, they had one belt stolen, I don't think the wrestlers take it home with them because they're considered more of an indie brand, because when you work for TNA, you can work for other promotions. And I think that's one of those things where they tell you the belt stays here. So the belt has to be there, because if Austin Aries can't go around with the world title belt, that says something. Granted, I don't think he's wrestling anywhere else, but everyone else seems to be. But, oh, well, you know, we'll see where the TV title's at. I mean, you never know.
They should hold a tournament for it, you know, and I mean, they need to do something because it hasn't been defended on TV in like 6 weeks.
Right. And it's a joke title, no matter how you put it. Basically, Ryback would eventually get the TV title. And then, then he would, you know, go on to like the US or IC, and then they put the TV title, because you need that. Like we said before, we're a broken record. Every time there's TV, that should be defended. That should be, you should be the main event on that. Well, not, you should be the main event on some other show. Before we stop talking, we need to stop talking about TNA. I want to talk about something about WWE, which they have a new show on. It's the Saturday Morning Slam. Mm-hmm. And I will say that show is actually not bad. It's only 30 minutes long. It has one match usually. No punch. If there's a punch to the head, they cut away. It's all like a bunch of arm drags, you know, more technical wrestling type moves. But I dug it. The last two shows I've watched, they've only had two so far. They were really good. I was really impressed. I got to give them credit on that. They did an excellent show on that. Excellent job on this show so far. So whoever's actually producing that show is going to get fired. Because you fail downward in the WWE sometimes. So let's move on to our weekly topic, though. We need to talk about Jerry the King Lawler. Something happened. I was kind of out of it on Monday night, but you sent me a message saying that he might have had a stroke or a heart attack at ringside.
Yeah, it was really big news. So during the primetime players match, what had happened was basically you could tell that there was a lot of commotion going on, and that people who were in the ring were looking outside the ring at, you know, the announce table. And you could tell that Michael Cole was sitting there not talking a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like, and he was saying then like broken sentences. He's like, arm drag, and then silence.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of weird. And it's like, what's going on? And I was on a message board reading what people were saying. Of course, the thought was, oh, they're trying to build up an angle with him and CM Punk. And, you know, saying that like CM Punk basically made him pass out or something like that. As the night went on a little bit more, Michael Cole said that this is not a part of the entertainment for tonight. You know, like as in this is not a part of the show. And at that point in time, it was like, okay, this is real. And if this is not real, if this is WWE trying to pull one over on us, then I'm out. You know, I'm done with watching WWE. At that point, like, I would be done. I would not give them my business. So Jerry the King Lawler wrestled earlier in the night. He comes back, does commentary, and during that time, he couldn't breathe. He was having a lot of chest pains, and they had to get medics down there in the middle of a match that was going on and get him out of there. And the fans are sitting there watching Jerry because they're not paying attention to the match going on in the ring. It was a pretty big deal, and you had alluded to earlier that there were so many script changes that happened because of Jerry going down.
Yeah, and the thing is also, one thing you can tell if it's real or not is if they cut to cameramen. If they do everything they can so you can't see what the cameraman's doing or what's going on and everyone's looking at one way, that's how you can tell if it's real or not. And they won't script stuff like that. There's no reason for them to do that. And the fact that nothing was said, it was quiet, everyone's in shock, they don't know what to do, you could tell it's real. And the fact that they kept giving updates over and over again, I was pretty impressed that they decided to do that. The other thing is also that people are talking about, do you stop the show? And as much as I want to say yes, you can't. You have to continue with the show, get over and done with. You have Bret the Hitman Hart come back to Montreal, and it sucked because like he was probably looking forward to it, and then this happens.
And that's the thing. We didn't talk about Bret being there at all because it was overshadowed by Jerry the King Lawler. They apparently had a lot more segments planned that had to get rewritten because of what had gone on. And I got to say, it was really weird to watch matches without having, you know, some sort of commentary there. It, you know, seeing it live is one thing because, you know, you're not going to see that, and you'll have friends you'll probably, you know, you'll go to the event with and you'll chat with. But watching that event, or watching it live without commentary, it was just – it was a really interesting experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Really interesting. And, you know, I know a lot of people obviously they wish King the best. And then people were talking about how, oh, well, you know, there was nothing brought up about Kamala that happened, or, you know, like why would you give – why would you care so much about this guy? It's because you have a guy who is performing, and in the middle of his performance, he has a heart attack. You're going to wish him well. You're going to wish that he will be okay. You don't want anything bad to happen, even if you don't like him. Like, I'm not the biggest Jerry the King Lawler fan. I don't hate the guy, but I'm not the biggest fan. I still don't want him to die while he's, you know, commentating. You know, I'd rather have him die of old age, you know, when he's 90 years old. And, you know, that's what you want. You don't want something horrible to happen to him like this.
Yeah. And one thing also you can tell that I thought I was really happy about is that Taz brought it up on Impact.
And
Mike Tenay, I'm sorry. But they both talked about it. And I was like, you know, that is really cool because even though, you know, he's never done anything for TNA.
Nope. He probably won't.
He probably won't. But the fact that he actually brought that up, I thought that was very classy of them to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when Randy Savage died, of course, WWE and TNA talked about it. He performed for, well, like one pay-per-view for TNA. But nonetheless, you know, I mean, when you have someone who is really big in that industry and something happens to him, you're going to probably bring it up. And it definitely was a nice move on TNA's part. It does not get people to be like, oh, they talk about WWE. I guess I'm going to have to watch that now. You know, no, it doesn't do that. It's just them being classy and saying something nice about it.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm very happy that they did that. The other thing also, how many people of like the million people that actually watch TNA, how many of those people actually watch Raw also?
I would say half.
You think so?
I would say half. I would say half those people watch. Cause when you think about it, TNA, you're probably going to – they're most of those people are wrestling fans, and so they're going to watch both.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, I'd probably say 70% of people who watch TNA watch WWE.
Yes, you know, maybe we should ask some people, you know, do a survey and find out, you know, what's going on with that. Because I'm kind of curious about that. Like, how many watch Ring of Honor, TNA, and WWE?
I would watch Ring of Honor if it was on TV. I mean, I would love to talk about it. And, you know, I would like that extra promotion to, you know, be there. Mm-hmm. But as it is right now, it's, you know, you have a global promotion, you have a national promotion, and then you have a semi-national promotion in Ring of Honor.
Yes. So anyway, so we all, of course, all of us here at Off the Mark wish Jerry the King Lawler the best. And I wish him, we both wish him a speedy recovery.
So. Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.